Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and let's check in now with the ongoing crisis in Syria in the wake of the bombing yesterday that killed at least three of President Bashar al-Assad's most trusted advisors. The bombing took place inside what, as the New York Times put it, should have been among the most secure rooms in Damascus. Here's the latest from this morning. Reuters is reporting that Assad has fled Damascus. AFP, the French news agency, is reporting that residents have been asked by the rebel army to leave many parts of the capital within 48 hours as violence escalates. And there is more. Let's talk about this with Laila Hilal, the director of the New America Foundation Middle East Task Force. Laila, thank you very much for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
What's your best information about whether Assad himself is no longer in Damascus? And if the reports are true that he has fled, does that mean the regime is on the verge of collapse?
Well, this is a period of great chaos and confusion, as well as a lot of anxiety, both hopeful and fearful. There's a tremendous amount of rumor activity. So the Reuters report that Assad is in the Taqiya area is the only report that I have heard. Others are saying that what is in fact happening is that Assad's mother and sister have gone to the area, the Alawite area, for the funeral of Assad's brother-in-law, who was assassinated yesterday. So it's not clear, in fact, whether Assad has actually left Damascus. So we need to be careful about what mm-hmm. information we are relying on. Now, if he has left Damascus and he is in the Taqiya, that does not in any way mean that he has lost power. It could simply be a protective move, and there's every indication on the ground that the Syrian army continues to fight the insurgency.
And what do you make of this AFP report that the rebel army is asking people in much of Damascus to evacuate the city because violence would escalate after about 48 hours? Are they preparing for all-out battle?
Well, I think in the past 24 hours, we have seen a huge escalation in fighting. In the first place, the fact that the Free Syrian Army took the battle to Damascus was significant, and that happened a couple of days before the assassinations yesterday. But since the bombing, there have been a tremendous amount of there's been a huge increase in the numbers of civilians killed. And then there are also many reports that the Shariha, the militia, civilian militia gangs that are associated with the regime, are on the streets of Damascus and acting in a revengeful manner, meaning that they are out of control. There are also individuals who are saying that Assad supporters, just average individuals who were formerly either silent on his regime or supportive of it for whatever reason, are also taking to the streets. So there's a significant amount of danger for any Syrian in the capital, and there is a significant escalation by the regime actors. But then it sounds as if the Free Syrian Army also intends to escalate their attack. One thing that one piece of information is that the Free Syrian Army was hyping this event, the bombing after it happened, suggesting that it was part of a planned attack. And if that is the case, perhaps they have a strategy and they have targets that they then intend also to escalate. There's more to be said, but you know, it just generally looks like all out war within Syria and within the capital, which is very significant.
So now we get to the question of what the United States or anybody else is going to do about this. We have late word, and I don't know if you've heard this yet, that Russia and China have vetoed a Western-backed UN Security Council resolution threatening sanctions against Syria. And I guess it's no surprise, really, that Russia and China continue to veto anti-Syria resolutions as they've been doing all along. But the resolution itself, had it passed, would have taken global intervention to another level, because it would have placed Kofi Annan's peace plan under Chapter 7 of the UN Charter, which allows them to authorize all kinds of actions ranging from diplomatic and economic sanctions to military intervention. So even though this failed in the Security Council, do you think now that Western powers are gearing up for some kind of military intervention that they've resisted to this point?
Well, that would be a surprise, to be honest, because up until this point, the Western powers who have supported regime change and who have supported such a resolution, a Chapter 7 resolution, have insisted that they would only intervene in Syria on a consensus basis and through a Security Council authorization. Without that, I don't think that their position will change dramatically. The only thing that may bring the U.S. or other Western powers to intervene without Security Council approval, I think, would be if this claim of chemical weapons becomes a real threat. Assad regime is said to have caches of chemical weapons, and this is a real concern to the U.S. It's a concern for Israel. And if Assad is starting to mobilize these weapons, one could perhaps surmise that then there would be motivation to act unilaterally. But even then, I think it's unlikely. I think the West has determinedly decided that intervention is only possible through a concerted effort. But I think also the diplomatic effort and the role of external actors is increasingly less relevant to what plays out in Syria, because Syria now is engaged in a full-scale civil war.
Here is British Prime Minister David Cameron from earlier this morning before the vote at the UN. And I want you to tell me if you think this language represents any kind of a change in the British and Western position.
It is time for transition in this regime. Clearly, Britain doesn't support violence on either side. But if there isn't transition, it's quite clear there is going to be civil war.
Well, there already is a civil war, according to the Red Cross, under the Geneva Conventions. But is there anything new in today's declaration from Prime Minister David Cameron?
No, I think that they've been saying for quite a while that they support a transition, a change in the regime, as has the U.S. administration for quite some time now. So that was an effort to try to push Russia to the other side. I think it has not worked. And to an extent, we see that the diplomatic effort has consistently been falling behind the times of what's happening on the ground in Syria. But I do think that Western actors must now be slightly more nervous as Syria spins out of control, if you will. I mean, Leon Panetta was quoted as saying this yesterday. I think now, as the Assad is expected to continue fighting. It's certainly not over yet. But the prospects of his survival are increasingly slim, and Western powers don't know who comes next in Syria. And this, of course, makes them nervous. So I think that there is probably increased anxiety in Western capitals, and a lot of intelligence and brainstorming going on within them to try to figure out how to respond and what comes next. But I don't think the position for regime change is a new one.
Well, we will continue to monitor the situation in Syria. And again, some of the developments just today, Reuters is reporting that Assad himself has fled Damascus, though that's unconfirmed, and he may have just left the city to attend a funeral. AFP, the French news agency, is reporting that residents have been asked by the rebel army to evacuate many parts of the capital within 48 hours as violence escalates. And once again, despite David Cameron's and others' best efforts, Russia and China have vetoed the latest Security Council resolution that would have authorized new sanctions. We thank, as we continue to monitor the situation, Laila Hilal, director of the New America Foundation Middle East Task Force. And listeners, we've posted links to a few of our trusted sources on this, live blogs, Twitter streams, interactive maps. Find it all at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. And Laila, thank you very much for being on.
Thank you.